good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. That's my colonized name. I'm totally colonized, and also my taxpayer name. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. We're located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis on the first floor of the Dayton's Building.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, Wendy. Now I'm back in the Twin Cities and you're at our studio in Long Island, New York. Long Beach in New York. And we were in Manhattan. We saw, we went and saw the... Well, we saw a lot of stuff. We did 22,000 steps, which is 10 miles, which is easy to do in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And we saw the museum, the Smithsonian Museum of Art for Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing.
It was amazing.
I can't wait to get that book that you bought me. That'll be in a couple months or so. On one of the artists that they're really amplifying. And
yeah, what's his name? Owen, or let me look it up.
Wasn't it Owen Hart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. Let's see, here we go. It's the delivery date is pending, and it is called, I have it right here. Let me just bring it up here. Modern Art by Oscar Howe.
Oscar Howe.
So he's started painting kind of in the late 1930s,
right?
All the way up into the late 1960s. And his art was kind of abstract, mm-hmm. Native American style. And he is Native American. But he, you know, a lot of people gave him a hard time about the art because it wasn't really traditional. It was kind of like an abstract type art, and it's beautiful art.
Yeah, well, one of the paintings he did was, it's kind of a famous one I've seen all over. Yeah, there's the cover of the book. It's kind of a famous painting I've seen around, and I had no idea who did it, but it was Wounded Knee, and basically had these abstract soldiers shooting Native Americans in like a big ditch. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that around the massacre of Wounded Knee. But well, you know, I'm really excited, first of all, always to have you on, Wendy, even though mm-hmm. you're in New York and doing a lot of different things with our family. Mm-hmm. But we have Gina Peltier of Honor the Earth who's been sitting in here for Ogama. And I talked to Ogama today and was in a meeting with her, and she's doing well and the baby's doing well and she'll be back soon. But we're so blessed to have Gina Peltier doing... basically, you know, Ogama's work and filling everybody in what's going on all over Turtle Island, and especially with those pesky pipelines that we've been dealing with for so long. And the roots of Native Roots is the pipeline. We were at DAPL and we started the show because nobody was really talking about Dakota Access Pipeline in a real way, and that's how Native Roots Radio originally started. So it's great to keep on doing that. And again, Gino, welcome, and thank you so much for sitting in and doing the deal here with us.
Bonjour, Robert and Wendy. So good to see you. So good to see that you made it back, Robert, and that, Wendy, you get to spend some time with family.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So speaking of Wounded Knee, I heard in your intro that you have Sachi and Little Feather in your little intro, speaking about Wounded Knee. And, you know, with what happened yesterday with the Oscars, I just would like to bring up Sachi and Little Feather. Because, you know, yesterday with what happened, it's kind of monumental in a way, you know, for that to happen and for not that many people to like, be upset because, you know, Saatchi and Little Feather endured boos, mockery, and lies when she took to the stage in the 1973 Academy Awards to reject an Oscar on behalf of Best Actor winner Marlon Brando, and to call for the better treatment of Native Americans. And it's crazy because John Wayne, famous for killing Native Americans on film, was so angry at her remarks that he wanted to drag her away, and he had to be restrained by 6 security men. Wow. So, you know, we have come a long way for that incident to happen last night and for it just to be calmed down the way it was, you know?
Well, Gina, I just want to add to that, too. At the exact time that the Academy Awards were happening, the occupation of Wounded Knee was happening, and they were so happy to see this happen on their little black and white TVs there, and it really rallied them to remain occupying Wounded Knee. So a lot of history with the Academy Awards, and, you know, I remember The Godfather. It was 50 years ago, so was this, right? That this happened, or was it 73? It's happened in 73, so it's 49 years ago, but still a lot of Native history again on that date, and with that Marlon Brando, who really supported Native Americans in his lifetime, which we really appreciate.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and that did open the door for media to give more coverage to what was going on with all that occupation and stuff. So it's brave women like her that keep me going and, you know, light the fires under me so I can, you know, have the courage. Because seeing what her, you know, I always tremble when I speak. And, you know, we have Nancy Bolio on, and she always says, speak even if your voice trembles. And, you know, seeing just Saatchi going on stage and just speaking her mind like that and having that reaction, but to also have that breakthrough to where positive things can happen. It's just, you know what, just get on that stage and speak, because you never know what'll happen.
Exactly. Good to bring up Nancy too. She does say that.
Yeah. But there is some news I want to bring up before we head into a break here. Something that happened this past week, tribal leaders of the Ocheti Sakauwin delivered notice of trespass and eviction notice to the Grand Gateway Hotel in Rapid City, South Dakota. On Saturday, March 26, tribal leaders of the Ocheti Sakauwin, the 7 council fires of Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nations, known as the Great Sioux Nation in Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, delivered a message to the Grand Gateway Hotel stating, "You are in trespass." This comes after a week of outrage after the owner of the Grand Gateway Hotel, Connie Urey, made public comments on social media that she would be banning all Native Americans from the Rapid City-based hotel, as well as the attached Cheers Lounge, following a shooting that occurred on Saturday, March 19th, which involved Native Americans. She stated that she cannot differentiate the good Indians from the bad Indians, and that's why she made this decision. In a statement from the chairman, Harold Frazier, of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, they stated, "It is foolish to attack a race of people and not all the issues affecting the society in which we live. This includes racism. When those wagons first began their way to break treaties and settle on our territory, we were classified as lesser beings and genocide was justified as such. The words uttered by this person is a reminder to my people that this is still the case. No Indians allowed. I demand an immediate apology from this person to the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota territory with clear and public consequences." So they did have a few marches and a few rallies, and they did deliver this no trespass notice, and everything went down nice and peacefully, and no one got injured. So, you know, there goes to show we are peaceful people. There's no reason to be spreading the racism like this.
Yeah. Wow. Really good. Good to bring up, because that was going all this weekend. Saw a lot of TikTok stuff We'll talk a little more. We're going to have Dr. Stately on, and we're going to have our weekly conversation with him with what's going on. But I just want to say we're going to be talking about this a lot too, Gina and Wendy, and it's McGeezy's Caravan to D.C., which is April 1st to the 15th. So we'll be talking more about that. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, well, we'll be, having Dr. Stately on in a minute. I got to send him, I think I sent him the wrong link. But Wendy, you got on okay. So, but why don't you two talk a little bit, and then I'll send. If you have more news, that would be great. And I'm going to. Dr. Stately's here. Wait.
Wow.
All these rumors, you know, that I started during the show. Here's Dr. Stately. Hey ho. So we were talking a little bit about the Academy Awards, and then being the 49th anniversary of. Marlon Brando and John Wayne trying to stop that, and people stopping him, and it's just the more things change, the more they remain the same. I don't know, but here we are with Dr. Stately, who's the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic, and we talk about a lot of different things here with Dr. Stately, and it's kind of what we like about doing this show is kind of like we're just chit-chatting and talking about things that matter to us, and we talk about hockey, we talk about keeping our young ones out of trouble and keeping them busy, we talk about COVID, mental health, and a lot of things, but what we do know is we're really happy to have Dr. Stately on with us each week, so welcome. Yeah. And you've been on the show for about a year and a half. Can I call you Tony yet? I'm wondering, when does that happen?
You don't have to call me Dr. Stately. I never said that you had to do that.
All right.
I only make my kids call me Dr. Stately.
No, he's going to be Dr. Stately on the show, and then off the show, he'll be Tony.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's like professional. What do you call that?
Oh, okay, well.
Professional something or other. Oh, etiquette, I guess is what you call it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, should I do my Marlon Brando impression for you since you're talking about him earlier?
Yes, definitely.
I'm joking.
Well, I thought you
were going to go like, yeah, I was going to yell Stella, but I was going to change your name like Robert.
Yeah. Well, Or we could all sing, all of us could sing, you know, John Wayne's Wooden Teeth song, mm-hmm. too, made famous.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe next one. But so what's going on?
I have somebody here to reenact the Will Smith slap. Like, if I have
yeah, we were like stunned, you know? I mean,
I didn't see it. I didn't watch the awards. I was busy doing other stuff. But then I was like, oh, my God, it's all over everybody's TikTok, everybody's Facebook. Right. You know, it's like, yeah. There's all kinds of Indians already posting stuff like that. It's like, you know.
Yeah. You know. There is the Indian TikTok. If you have a chance, don't miss it. Because one, yeah. It's really positive, but it's super duper funny.
My nephew sent it to me on Facebook. DM and I was like, it's like, man, I said, shoot, I've been like Will Smith and people for a couple decades already.
I know. But now I guess Puff Daddy or P Diddy, or I can't remember what they call him now, but they got together after the show and they're all friends again. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah.
And he didn't punch him, he slapped him. So that's a different. Yeah. And he did
Chris Rock.
He did,
Chris Rock. Yeah.
He did do Ali. He played Ali in a film. So I think he knows how to box.
Oh, probably, yeah, for sure, right? You know. And remember that one video, that one movie he made about like the post-apocalyptic thing and there's a zombie thing?
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty badass in that. I mean, sorry.
We'll bleep him out. We
I'm going to get kicked off the airwaves, aren't I? Yeah. Like,
no, we will first.
We warned the producer at the studio to get his finger on that button immediately and to just watch really carefully because we have Dr. Stately on today.
You know what? Normally, I am really well spoken. I am a doctor, after all. But yeah. I'm also like a couple months away from turning 60. So like I'm old, and I just don't care a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, we have
about that, Robert, right?
Oh heck yeah! I'll be 61 soon, and well, Dr. Stately, Wendy and I were in Manhattan a couple days ago, and we did 22,000 steps. And that's 10 miles. That's 10 miles.
Just in LaGuardia Airport by itself? Or what?
No, all of Manhattan. No, just the lower part, right, Wendy? We were just down at Battery Park. We could have went.
Yeah, we were on the lower part of Manhattan.
I love Battery Park.
Yeah. Battery Park. We went over to the 9/11 Memorial and walked through that. That was really nice. We went to the Smithsonian Native American Museum. That was really fantastic. Mm-hmm. We ate really good food, so it was really nice. We had a really good time.
I haven't been to New York in so long. The last time I was there, it was after 9/11, and they had like dug out the pit, so it was still like a big huge pit when I was there last. I had a really cool picture of me kissing the bull on Wall Street. Like I was like,
yeah, there was a big line of people, so we didn't wait in line to kiss the bull. Nice. But you know what they say, New York's so
probably not so, a good COVID thing to do is kiss that bull, by the way.
No, or pick up a payphone. Hey, yeah. But we
do they still have payphones there?
No, I'm just
I kidding. Didn't see any.
Really dating yourself there, pilot.
Yeah, I know.
So, half your audience is like, what's a payphone?
Right, exactly. Gina's like, her eyes dilated. She's going, what are these guys talking about down there? You know, just like, oh. But, you know, the city's so cool, they named it twice, right? Isn't that how it goes? New York, New York?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah,
named
it twice. Yeah.
Something like that.
Or the founder was forgetful.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Did you get tested before you went and when you came back? Because...
No, but you know, that's interesting. They had a lot of testing, like kiosks on the street, Wendy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of free COVID testing places by different organizations set up on the sidewalk with their, you know, little tent and van, and you could just go up and get a COVID rapid test, and but nobody was online for them. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I heard New York COVID test t-shirts too. No,
they must have. They must have watched that same 60 Minutes show that you watched and thought that it's over.
Oh, please don't bring that up again. That was one of our, that wasn't one of my best of shows. Let's just put it that way.
But I had a friend of mine, another friend of mine, who went to New York this weekend. She left on Friday, came home, I think last night, and tested positive. She's positive, and she's feeling a little down. And
wow.
And I also had, it's interesting, like so I just got, do you have this on your phone, this little thing here that says, where is it, see, exposure notification
from New York? I have one from New York.
Yeah, so I did have a potential exposure last week, so I'm wondering like when it theoretically, when this thing sort of kind of like what the potential sort of time frame is. I don't really know what, if this is from last week or did I just have another one in the last 48 hours. So,
wow.
So, yeah. Well,
I don't know.
But I did the responsible thing on Friday. I did my own home test and then it was negative. And then I was like, well, you know, the home test, they kind of can have false negatives sometimes. Mm-hmm. Based on all kinds of conditions. But then I, and you're supposed to do it twice, like, you know, one day and then the next day do another one, but I had time to do that. Mm-hmm. So I went to the clinic that day and got a PCR test taken and my results came the next day. But I did that because I was going to the Capitol on that day for the rally, right? And I wanted to make
sure it was
potentially infectious, so.
I'm sad I missed that. I was in New York, but you know, we have some quick tests here I'll probably take after the show. Now that you mentioned it, I just got in this morning.
Yeah, I would just do it the next couple of days, you know, maybe.
That's just good.
To make sure.
Yeah, I have tests here too, so I'll be testing also.
You know, yeah, and it's funny too, because like you were saying in a jokingly manner, I mean, we were masked up in the airport, on the plane, and then once we got out, a lot of the workers were masked, but a lot of civilians were not in the city, that's for sure.
Civilians. I almost never hear people use that word, civilians.
I'm 61, remember?
Yeah, that's back in the day. Those are just ordinary folk. For those of you who are listening, it's
right. Well, I'm trying to bring it back, but you know how that goes. Well, we've talked about a lot of stuff here in your first segment. Good thing. I think we're going to have to, Wendy. What do you think we're going to have to keep Dr. Stately on for three segments tonight? Because we've exhausted one now, and we haven't got to the points and stuff that you wanted to. And we just love having you on.
Anyways. Oh yeah, the email I sent you. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, we can talk about that. That's a good one because there is this new variant coming.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you know it's powwow season, and we have to be careful and mask up, and people are getting out there and. We'll talk more, and I really, what I like talking about, too, is not only COVID, but our, you know, mental health. You know, we really, really need to talk about that, too, and I enjoy talking to you.
That's awesome. Well, you're in luck. I'm a psychologist. That's
yeah.
what I am, so. And, I mean, and I'm not you personally. I'm saying me or show, but.
You know. Hey, but, you know, I'm a pilot, too, right? No, just kidding. Well, hey, Hey, we'll be right back. I play one on the radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging in partnership with Trellis. I have volunteered with seniors nearly 15 years, working alongside their compassionate team. I am honored to partner with Trellis as we help our elders find housing, compare costs of Medicare prescriptions, and learn how to avoid fraud and scams targeting seniors. We help our elders optimize well-being as they age, and we can help you too. Reach out today at trellisconnects.org.
Hey Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblot. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblot from Shamblot Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblotfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With their AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 31. Tuesday, a mix of rain and snow with a high near 42. And Wednesday, rain with a high around 40.
Don't waste hours figuring out how to pick up and assemble your own grill. Leave it to the specialists at Warner Stellion. Choose from the hottest new grills. Then don't pay a penny more for professional assembly, delivery, or Holloway. Shop now at WarnerStellion.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Dr. State Lee, and Dr. State Lee is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're always really excited just to have a good conversation what's going on, and you know, it was good to bring up the fact that I should probably take a quick COVID test because I just got off a plane and from New York City, and there's new variances. And do you want to talk a little bit about the new variances
The latest one is actually a subvariant of Omicron. So it's the Omicron. The first Omicron variant was BA1. This is BA2. It's a subvariant of the same Omicron sort of mutation. I was reading the New York Times and discussion about, among some scientists, and there's actually three subvariants of Omicron. This is the second one. it's kind of taking hold in the United Kingdom and Europe fairly rapidly now. And it's already here in the United States, and it accounts for about a third of the new infections in the United States. So it's said to be even 30% more, that's not the same thing as times, but 30% more easily transmissible and than the original Omicron, which you remember was like, you know, Delta on, you know, Delta or the original original strain on kind of steroids. So it does seem to be have some pretty strong evidence that it's fairly transmissible and rapidly or easily able to sort of like be acquired. And so I think what we don't know yet, though, and science is always a little bit behind this stuff because it takes us a while to sort of kind of study a particular variant and like how it actually sort of shows up and translates into sort of like, you know, things like hospitalizations, infection rates, those kinds of things. So we don't know that it's necessarily going to increase the number of new infections like we saw in that last spike, you know, between like the end of December and the beginning of January, that you know, crazy 3 weeks where we saw cases triple and double and quadruple like in a matter of days. So we're not quite sure if it's going to get there, but I do think that it does suggest that, you know, as, you know, people resume doing things like, you know, going to, you know, the bowling alley, like my kids did with their hockey team this weekend, and you know, going to the mall, you know, gathering in theaters and large groups or just being out and about, that you might want to consider, you know, the importance of, you know, masking when you're in, where you're going to be indoors in a very heavily sort of like congested area where you're going to be sharing a whole lot of air and breathing and stuff like that with individuals. You might want to wear a mask, especially particularly if you yourself have not been vaccinated and fully boosted, and if if you have somebody within your family or somebody in your sort of immediate sort of daily life that you are more likely to transmit something to, right, that would be fatal to them, like a child under the age of 5 or an elder somebody who has autoimmune disorder disease or something that kind of suppresses their immune system. Just kind of be thoughtful about that when you're sort of out and about, like who could I potentially bring this home to and transmit this to that could be damaging to them and in severe illness and or hospitalization or death. Those are just kinds of things I think we have to all start to kind of keep at the front, you know, keep up here in our frontal lobes. So,
yeah. Wendy, do you have any response?
Well, I mean, you know, my great niece just got baptized yesterday and there was a big celebration and there were, let's say, 1, 2, 3, 4 families at the church. You know, parents, godparents, immediate family. I don't know. I'm going to say maybe 50 people were at the church, not only our family, but 3 other families. Nobody had a mask on. You know, everybody's hugging and kissing and congratulating everybody. You know, and then we all went to have a family, you know, get together to a celebration, a meal. And again, you know, nobody was masked and we were inside and it's like, I don't know. It just, did it feel uncomfortable? It felt uncomfortable, but at the same time, it felt like, oh, are we getting back to normal? But I know that we're not getting back to normal, you know? So we do have to, you know, take precaution and we do have to keep testing, you know, we have to keep testing to make sure that we're not infectious. You know, Robert and I are both vaccinated. We're both boosted. You know, we're lucky that we're healthy and we don't have any underlying conditions where it would be serious for us. But, you know, we don't, like you said, Dr. Stately, we don't know how this BA2 is going to present itself.
Yeah. And cases have gone down significantly since like that last couple weeks in January significantly, like in that, in the last sort of big, huge spike, which was due to Omicron mutation one kind of thing, BA1. Cases like got the amount of community circulation got all the way up to almost 24%, like a quarter, which is really quite dramatically more than we've had for well over a year. But now we're down, currently right now, it looks like we're down to like around maybe 3%, 2.7, something like that. But, you know, this article I sent Robert had had said, you know, that, you know, Minnesota Waste Management, water management, they, you know, they test the water in multiple locations all over the state. And they're looking for evidence of the sloughing of the virus off in wastewater, right? And that's a better predictor of where the pandemic is moving, or where the outbreaks could be moving, because it shows up in your wastewater and your urine and your feces in terms of being sloughed out of your system earlier than it shows up in, you know, systemic disease or some of those kinds of things. So just kind of like that there's evidence that that rate is going back up in wastewater, and that what they're finding in wastewater is of concern. So I just think it's a good idea for us all to be a little bit more cautious. You know, I myself personally, if I go to Aldi or go to a store and I see, like, you know, maybe a handful of parking spots available, I'm going to probably wear my mask if I go in there, right? Because I'm going to be in there longer than like 15 minutes or so. So I'm going to be a little bit more cautious in that situation.
Well, it's really good to hear a reminder, because again, Wendy and I were, you know, hanging out with the relatives, and, you know, we've been so careful for 3 years, Wendy, and Dr. Stately. And all of a sudden, you know, we're wearing our mask and our N95 mask on the plane, and, you know, keeping it above this big nose, you know, which sometimes is hard.
It's hard to get it over that big nose. But they're saying,
like, extra material for that.
But they're saying now that I think April 18th, they're supposed to lift the mask mandates on airplanes. So I don't know about that. Honestly, even after that, I'm going to wear my mask on the plane. I am.
Yeah, I read this really great New York Times article, or maybe it was a Washington Post article. They had done an analysis. They looked at a number of studies, and they found that actually there was sort of the overwhelming sort of like takeaway message from looking at those studies on like transmissibility on planes. They did some different kinds of conditions, tracked people who had traveled, and but a few other things. What they said was probably the most dangerous place to be actually maskless is like when you're actually in the terminal. You know, it's like you're packed in like sardines there in a terminal, right? And then like, you know, everybody wants to get that really posh, cushy seat right next to the window. So they're all packed into that tunnel like sardines. And so if you're in that area and space and place with like for a pretty long period of time with no mask on, that's probably actually more dangerous than actually riding on the plane. They have a fairly decent now air circulation and refreshing system that makes the air in the airplane a little bit more less dangerous perhaps, but it's actually, they think that it's all the things around traveling that actually make it more dangerous. So
I'm getting a sore throat as the show is going on.
No, even when we were on the Long Island Railroad, we wore our masks. Yeah. But there were some people who wore masks and others who didn't.
I sure hope you didn't kiss that baby with those COVID lips.
No, I didn't. But I'm getting a sore throat here. So, Dr. Stately, you might have to do a show tomorrow with Gina and Wendy.
Now you're talking about something I can actually treat, which is psychosomatic illness. Yeah.
There you go. Shoot, Gina, do you have any question or statement with Dr. Stately?
No, but I do want to mention about your statement earlier when we were talking about payphones. Thank you very much. I'm not that young. And I just want to share a quick story. When my husband and I first met 16 years ago, he didn't have a phone. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have a home phone. So, and I lived in a different town as him. So he would drive to a payphone at a grocery store and talk to me on this payphone for hours. And then if someone wanted to use the payphone, he would hang up on that payphone and then go all the way across town to the second payphone that was in that town and then talk to me from that payphone. So that's a cute story. I just wanted to share to let you guys know.
That's true love. That's true
That is true love, man. That is awesome. I have to tell you. I've been married a few times. I've never done that. I haven't driven that far for anybody.
Jeez, wow. That's really a good story. Way to wrap
that
up this
awesome.
Segment. Dr. Stately, do you have time for a howl section here? We're going to be howling
soon.
Sure,
yeah. I got my pipes ready for you.
All right, awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be back in a few seconds, and we're going to be doing our howl that Wendy has made famous over the years here. And so we'll talk more about COVID and keeping safe. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Stay healthy this winter by protecting yourself, your family, and your community from COVID-19. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and free, and approved for everyone over the age of 5. Wear a mask outdoors in crowds and indoor settings, and lay low or get tested before visiting family and friends or attending events. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine, or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Wow, I think that was one of the best ones we've done in a long time.
My dog just jumped up.
Go lay down, baby. Your dog's part wolf. There you go. That's funny. Hey, I guess I got to continue with the show here, right? Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking about a lot of stuff and, you know, and still masking up. And I can see it. It's weird. Even I know you said that the filtration system in planes are pretty good, but geez, even before COVID, if somebody sneezed, I'd be like, oh, covering my nose and trying to have my own little mask. And I'm a person that remembers smoking on a plane, too. So,
The first time I ever rode on a plane, I smoked on it. I was 16 on my way to Florida, just sitting back. And that was weird. That's how old I am. But I think that they, you know, as a result of COVID, and they changed the filtration systems in planes to sort of up the ante in them, right? They probably have like the same type of quality of filtration systems that like I have in my dental exam room, which is like, you know, the aspirations or whatever, they like suck them right out of the air and get them out, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. So, I mean, that's probably one of the things that we, a new thing that we will live with forever now with COVID, mm-hmm. probably, as especially as it be, kind of becomes an endemic.
Well, do you remember, and how could you forget, because you were in the hospital, but even prior to that, when this first was creeping into this country, we had these ships full of people that you couldn't, they couldn't, it mm-hmm. was just like
yes.
the Twilight Zone. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yep. Twilight Zone, like ships parked out in the middle of the ocean, they couldn't dock and people couldn't get off of them. And you know, and then what, you know, what's even crazier was like this last summer, they let people go back out on ships too, even after. Yeah,
like, not me.
I was like, and I was like, you know, it was a little hard to feel sorry for those people that were like stuck out there. Cause it was like, well, you know, past history is probably your best predictor right. for what's going to happen in the future. Like you should have maybe thought about that different. Yeah. The tickets were only $50, but you know, now you're stuck in the middle of the ocean for a week and you lost all that pay at work.
Oh yeah. That's not on my bucket list, but yeah, it never was, but really isn't. But I just remember that. And then the government was in denial, and then they were keeping yeah. them out and letting Europeans in. And it was just yeah. like, what the
And then Trump heck? Was telling people to drink bleach, and it was just like crazy. It's complete and utter crazy sauce. Like, God. 2020 was like the year of like, I don't know, it felt a little bit like people probably, maybe I'm dating myself here, but it felt a little bit like we were living in the Twilight Zone and yeah. during that year. It's like, huh? And like people saying crazy stuff and posting crazy stuff and just like, oh, it was weird. And then it felt a little bit like Groundhog Day too, like Groundhog Day and Twilight Zone mixed together, like a mashup. Very strange experiences. And I will tell you that, you know, like when I got sick that year, I felt fairly confident that I wasn't, that it was going to be okay. You know, I was like, well, you know, I felt protected. I had masks. I was doing all kinds of things that I thought I was supposed to do, you know, like wiping down all the surfaces with like, you know, triple bleach. And, you know, just, I was mm-hmm. a little bit of a maniac at the very beginning. And then I was like, well, I'm working in healthcare and I'm probably going to be okay. I'm being really wise to this stuff, paying attention. Right. And, you know, it's just, you can take the best efforts that you can take to try and sort of kind of mitigate and reduce. But in a worldwide pandemic, the likelihood that you're going to get sick at some point in time is great, right? And mm-hmm. it's just not a good solution to think like you're going to be the one savior that isn't going to get sick, right? It's not a good strategy, right?
Just well, like, I was hoping, you know, we had them good indigenous genes that we wouldn't get sick.
I know, right? You know? Me too. I was like, I ain't gonna get that. That's for white people. you know, and like, you know, and then my happy ass ended up in the hospital, and I was like, dang, you know, this is real. And it was definitely a wake up call for me. You know, I thought here I was doing all the right things, and you know. So, yeah. You know, I try to impress upon the people I love and the people that work for me and anybody that will even actually talk to me. The other day I talked to a lady in the grocery store aisle, and she was probably thought I was nuts, but you know, but I was like, you know, if I have an opportunity, I just tell people like, you know, I didn't expect to get sick. I certainly didn't expect to end up in the hospital, and I didn't think that I was going to get any. I remember when I did get it, I was like, my son got it first. So he had a really mild case. And I was like, I will probably be okay. This will just be like a cold. Right? No, I was hospitalized and on oxygen for 7 days.
During Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You were, that was during Thanksgiving week.
Yeah. The thing I was the most upset about that entire time was I was in the hospital for Thanksgiving and they gave me this little tiny piece of pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving Day. I was like, I'm a dying man potentially here. Give me a big piece of pie.
Yeah. Well, we got some vegan pie here. So vegan pumpkin pie in the freezer. That's one thing we did too. We bought a freezer too. We did all these things like, do you remember when the clocks were hitting 2000 and we were all thought the world was going to end because of the computer?
Yeah, you were worried your computers, everything was going to be wiped off of them or whatever. And like all the money would be siphoned out of your bank account on January 1st, 2000.
All $10 I had.
You're out there like taking out all your money and shoving it on your mattress and all kinds of
things. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, he just, I don't know. It's just been a long, I want to ask you, do you have any long hauler symptoms at all?
I have some, at different times I have like, still have like some fogginess, like, you know, like I will do things like I'll be in a group of people and I'll see somebody that I know, I've known for years. Like, I mean, we're not talking just a couple of years. We're talking like decades. I've known these people decades, right? And I'll be like, and I'll go to say their name and I'll be like, so I'm like, well, I'm almost 60, but I'm pretty sure I don't have early symptoms of dementia, right? I have the ability to do all these other kinds of things, like analyze financial statements and stuff like that. But I'll just like be like, and then you know what has to help, what ends up helping me in those situations is I think of the context. I try to remember a time when I saw them and like a thing we were talking about, and then their name will come back to me. But you know, sometimes like if you're just passing like at a powwow, the person's already gone by the time you remember their name. Really embarrassed. I'm like, you know, so then in that situation, you just call everybody Kunshi and
Choka. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
I have some timers, and you know, I've had that forever. And Wendy and I used to have a thing where like, if I introduced, Wendy to this person, that means I couldn't remember their name. And then Wendy would jump in and say, oh, I didn't catch your name. What's your name? We were a great team with, my early on sometimers.
Well, yeah, and I think that probably, remember I ended up in the hospital and I found out at the same time I was diabetic. And, you know, I remember reading some research and saying that, you know, some people had found out they are diabetic. They think that COVID caused diabetes, type 2 diabetes for some people because they were less active and a bunch of other things. So, you know, I was pretty disappointed about that and I still live with that. I'm going to be challenged with that for a while.
Well, we're glad you're here, and we're glad that you stop in every Monday. We got 20 seconds left. I want to thank Gina for her news. Wendy, as always, just thank you for tolerating me for all these years. And Dr. Stately, thank you for your inside information. We really appreciate it. We're the seventh generation. We're still here.
Free Leonard Peltier.